What's up, everybody? The following is a chat between Ghost from My Third Eye Podcast and myself, and we just dove a little bit into his past, and a week later, him and I just happened to be kind of hanging out over Zoom in the cyberspace world, and wanted him to, maybe throw his thoughts out there about what's going on in his work and, all the stuff that he's doing. So, Ghost, first of all, thanks for doing that little chat with me. It was fun. And, it's been kind of like a cool sideshow to do with folks. So, first of all, I mean, thank you, like I said, and then tell people about what you're up to over there.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on. I had a blast, after listening to, Davies and Adam's episodes, it brought back a couple things that I forgot about, getting caught, walked in on, in high school, having sex with, my girlfriend, titties are flopping, mom walks in, not good, not cool, wasn't allowed to hang out in the room anymore. But, other than that, it's a blast to do episodes like that, where you don't have to sit there and kind of think, real hard on anything, because you're just reflecting on past life experiences, from being a kid to, where we are today. So yeah, it was an honor to be on, man.
Of course, man. What are you doing now with your show? You've got a couple new things that you're up to over there.
Yeah, I revamped Talk at the Tavern. So I'm starting releasing the first hour free, and then the Patreons can go over and go sign up at My Third Eye Podcast up at Patreon.com, and $5 gets you the whole episode. And did it more of a invite only, back to how it kind of was in the beginning. When I was first starting it, I was hustling, grinding, looking for guests every week, and I needed to get back to that, because I think I just kind of left it get lazy and just invited anybody and whoever, and I think it needed to be more personal. And so I'm releasing them on Sunday, and then my regular feed I'm releasing, usually I release it Wednesday early morning, like around midnight, and then Thursday I sit down and I record with you, with Conspiracy in the News, a new little adventure that we're doing, and it seems to be doing good. I was quite surprised that it hit the charts on Chartable right away, and I was shocked, and it was that episode. It was specific. I got an email today, and I was like, wow, that's cool. Hey, people are liking it, people are digging it, and it's fun to kind of get weird with it. Like, I don't know, we teased it with, Q hijacked that whole getting conspira weird with shit. Now we need to get back to that as conspiracy theories, I think, just right. Really look into it and look at weird different things. So that's what I got going on. I'm going to try and hopefully work on some more content for the Patreons as well. So
good, man. Yeah, no, it was fun having you on. Obviously you and I are pretty close, and I'm looking forward to doing one with Matt, who I haven't invited yet, but if he listens to these, this is his formal invitation. I will be asking him, and then obviously Ron too, and then a bunch of people, man. So it was nice to get with the three of you so far, and we'll keep moving this thing forward. And man, just enjoy this talk between two conspiratorial minded people that don't talk about conspiracies at all. So thanks again, Ghost, and here we go. I kind of wanted to get, first of all, like an origin story. I'm sure that a lot of your audience, and probably a good amount of my audience, knows about your military background. Mm-hmm. I'd like to touch on that too, but let's go to the beginning. You know what I mean? Let's go back to when you were a wee little kid, and kind of your whole start. Were you brought up kind of, humbly? Were you brought up with some moolah? What's the deal with you, dude?
Well, I'm a starseed from Nibiru. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a first.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
I know.
No, I grew up pretty humbly, kind of not a rich family, not necessarily poor either, but I was born out in Gillette, Wyoming, and lived there for a little bit, and then we moved to Idaho until I was like 10 or 11. Then my stepdad's side of the family was originally from out here in Pennsylvania, and I don't know, job market kind of went down or something. I don't know. This was, mid 80s or whatever. And they decided, hey, we're moving to Pennsylvania, and I've been stuck out here ever since. And trust me, I miss the West. I don't sure. get a chance to get back there as much as I would like to.
Well, and I don't think that I even know the answer to this. Are you close with your mother and father, or were you back then?
Well, see, the thing is, I don't know, when my mom and real dad got a divorce, she kept me from him, which was kind of fucked up. So
your real father.
Yeah, my real father. So I didn't actually really get to meet him again until I was 16 years old and went out for a whole summer and got a visit with my dad and my grandparents and some of my cousins, and how I've even interviewed my one cousin, pretty much the only cousin I actually kind of talk to. You know, me and him see eye to eye on a lot of things. A lot of our other family members are a little liberal and a little, virtual signaling type people, and just don't click.
But, gotta love it. You know, yeah. So when did they separate? Was it when you were very, very young?
Yeah, I was maybe four.
Okay, so you don't remember, because I was going to ask you, like, this is a good way to always know if you grew up poor or not, if you ever heard your parents arguing about money. You know what I mean? Like, I heard my parents arguing all the time. Yeah. Maybe your stepdad and her.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you grew up probably about the same as me, lower middle class, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. My parents have really done really well for themselves lately, and my sister grew up in a completely different, like, they were in a different tax bracket, I think, than when they had me, which is kind of interesting to think, you know, to see how that will influence her. But did you have any siblings yourself?
I have a half sister and I have a half brother. Now, my half sister is to my stepdad and my half brother is to my dad. And it's funny because he's my little big brother. I dwarf him in size, but he's a spitting image of our father. And I actually stay in contact more now with my real dad. My mom, not so much. She's crazy. I finally got the wife convinced, you know, when we first got together and we're dating, I'm like, you don't understand. My mom's a fucking nut job. She's like, oh no, you need to have a relationship. And then she soon realized, you know what? You're right. And I was like, told you. And you know, she's the type that she hates men. So the fact that she had a son, you know, really, really put a dagger in her heart.
Yeah, it's like when you get a puppy, she thought probably you were cute when you were a boy, but then that changed when you turned into an evil man. But, you know, I think,
militant.
Right? No, it's nice that your girl, that your wife now, right? The same lady that we're talking about here. Yeah, so, I mean, it's nice that she wanted to be like, hey, you know, connect with your mom and all that shit, but sometimes it's not good, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, you mentioned this quite a few times in your shows, and I know I've heard it several times on air, that you were baptized in the Susquehanna River, right? Susquehanna? Mm-hmm. Susquehanna in the middle of January. Was that Christian influence that came from your mother?
Yes and no. Because, like, when I was younger, we went to Catholic mass and stuff, but, like, not all the time. So, like, I went through, I think it's called catechism or something like that, where... Wow. I was allowed to take offering or something. I forget. I was a young boy. And then when we moved out to Pennsylvania, we really didn't go to church. But my childhood best friend, who I no longer have any contact with, which is probably a good thing. He kind of weird anyway. I used to start going to church with him and his family. And that's where the Christian influence came in my life. So during high school, and then I kind of got away from it in the military. And then when I got back, I got kind of back into it when, you know, my daughter was born and, you know, this and that. And then I kind of, you know, stepped away from some things and just started reevaluating a lot of everything that, you know, we've been told, you know, me and you've had many discussions on that. And even last night we, you know, kind of touched on it, but
yeah, I love those kind of conversations, man, that just make you think, because none of us know the answers, but it's fun to speculate and find whatever resonates with you. I think that's kind of cool. I think that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
But I like asking people this question, man. You know, being a kid, we're kind of at that stage in your life, right? Like, this is what we're discussing right now. So you went to school in Pennsylvania, right?
Mm-hmm.
All elementary, all that shit?
No, I did go up to, I think, third grade in Idaho.
And then
I moved out here.
Okay, so.
Would have been fourth, but I got held back in second. I didn't like to do homework.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't blame you. You're born in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. So would you ever come home 70s?
77.
Oh, well, you grew up in the 80s then.
Yeah. Grew up in the 80s. Yeah.
So growing up in the 80s, would you ever come home and you had the house to yourself after you like got home from school?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Latchkey kid
all the way. Come home, turn on some He-Man, some what other cartoons? Scooby-Doo. And
yeah, this is what I want to get into. Get into the cartoons and the food.
Yeah. So I'd come home. I'd get off the bus. This is when I lived in Idaho, and we had a quarter mile long lane that I either rode my bike or walked, you know, to get back to the up to the house. And I'd come home.
Would you bring your bike to school?
One time I did when I lived out there, but the school to ride there was, man, and to look back on it nowadays, I would have never let my daughter do it, but it was like a few miles away. You know what I mean? Back country roads and what have you. And I remember a dog chasing me that one time. It was the last day of school and we were allowed to ride our bikes or whatever. And this fucking dog, country dog, you know, a farm dog starts chasing me and I'm sitting there, you know, trying to pedal as fast as I can, I got to school. He never attacked me or nothing, but man, yeah, I was fucking scared.
Dude, those dogs, when they're chasing you on a bike, I figured out the faster and the harder you try and get away, the faster they chase you. Uh-huh. If you just stop, they don't know what to do. It's like when they're chasing a car.
Yeah. If you just stop and stare at them, they freeze. They're like, oh, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The prey drive shuts off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah, dude, I've been chased by a dog or two in my day on a bicycle as an adult. At least that happened to you as a kid.
Yeah.
So you come down this quarter mile stretch, walking home. No one's home. You got the reins to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You said He-Man, Scooby-Doo. I fuck with that heavy. Any other good shows that were like maybe more like not regional, but kind of niche for like your interests?
G.I. Joe was big. And I had a big G.I. Joe collection I got one year for Christmas. So I, you know, at that time, I think my mom was, I don't even know if she was pregnant yet with my sister. So I was the only kid. So I really grew up, you know, learning how to use your imagination, you know, playing G.I. Joe's. And we lived on a farm, so we had like irrigation ditches. Do they have them out in Arizona?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so sometimes the water would flow through our property because there was a farm field that surrounded us. And when there wasn't water, I'd take my G.I. Joes down there and, you know, battle along the river, I'd, you know, call it, or the creek or whatever, and have these little dugout little sides in the, you know, for their little base and all this shit. And that's, you know, and then when they did fill with water, you know, you fucking swam in it. You know what I mean? It's what you did.
Oh, you did? Or you'd make the G.I. Joe swim in it? You actually
swim? I did. Yeah, I would. But I would make the G.I. Joe swim in the small little trickle of water when it, you know, when it wasn't fully flowing through there. Or, you know, get handkerchiefs and some string, make them a parachute. And I'd crawl up on one of the barn roofs and throw them up in the air and watch them parachute down and shit like that.
Dude, you know, I think it, because I used to do shit like that. For me, it wasn't G.I. Joe's. It was little toy motorcycles. I was big into dirt bikes when I was a kid. And, you know, even me and my friends in like high school, like middle school, really, but early high school, ninth grade, really, we stopped because we started getting more interested in puss. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you up until then, dude, I was playing with toys in the dirt, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was like a light switch that went off in my head. And it's kind of weird to think back like that, because now, even for me, it would be kind of weird to see a high school kid playing in the dirt with toys. You know what I mean? But I literally was doing that, like I said, up until I started getting obsessed with more adult type things.
Right. Yeah, kind of weird. I was that way too, up until, man, I don't even know, because I was kind of a backwards kid. Like, I want to say, I mean, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I think we play with matchboxes and, you know, figurines. We just, me and my buddy called them guys, you know. It was either Ninja Turtles or G.I. Joe or whatever, you know, probably till eighth grade, you know what I mean? And then when we got into high school, you know, no, hey, girls, you know, hormones kick in. You're just like a walking boner, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Put the guys down. Let's go chase some babes.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. No, it's it's interesting, but that's not the case anymore with these kids. You know what I mean? Like they're right away. Unfortunately, they're sexualized at an earlier age, it seems.
Yeah.
They always have the phone, so they're probably looking up porn and seeing, you know, influencers, fat ass girls on Instagram and stuff, and it's definitely making these kids grow up a little too soon. But I think that it's funny that you say that you would play with these things in the dirt like that. But
dude, we used to have an extensive it was in my buddy's basement, because he had like where the oil tank was, there was like a small trench where the cement didn't come together, so we dig out the dirt And we found if we dug it out and we kind of made mud and it would get hard. And we made like these bases for our cars and shit, you know, and we drive them around. And then we had like two, like I was like lightning and he was like thunder, something like that. But we were like crime fighters or whatever. And, you know, those cars could fly and do you know, queer shit like that. But yeah, we used our imagination. It was fun. You know what I mean? And go out in the woods and build forts and booby traps and all sorts of shit.
Oh, dude, the forts. We used to build forts too. We built some epic forts, man. And that, it is interesting. You know, I want to get to the food. Like when you be there and before you go probably play with your friends or whatever, what kind of food would you be eating when you came home and you had to make yourself shit?
Usually one that sticks out the most would be like my mom would give me an option. Usually it was either a bowl of cold cereal, scrambled eggs, or sometimes she'd make pancakes or French toast. And if she'd make pancakes, she'd always leave. If there was extra, she'd always saran wrap them on a paper plate. So when I'd come home, my after school snack would have, I'd put some butter on it and then I'd sprinkle some sugar and eat that. you did ask, Kim in one of your rants about some weird childhood foods.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention it last night and I totally forgot until now. I used to make something called graham cracker mush and none of my friends knew what the fuck it was. But once they tried it, they loved it. And you take a whole pack, maybe a pack and a half of graham crackers, you crumbling them up in a cup, you pour some milk in there and you stir it till it's kind of mushy and you just fucking down it. I mean, poor man all the way. You know what I mean? You can't get any better than
that's
that.
Trash.
It was trash. But it was so good.
You ever do like milk bread? I've heard that's the thing over there where you take a piece of white bread, you put sugar on it and then pour milk over it.
I in Pennsylvania, that is a thing. I never did that. I did take white rice, put milk in it and some sugar and eat it that way.
Really? Like almost like a rice pudding?
More like a cold rice, I guess, cereal.
Oatmeal, you know, or something?
Yeah, something like that. It was just
white was
rice
good?
With some I liked it. I mean, I was poor. I didn't have a chance. Didn't really
that's
have a choice.
So funny. So I would be letting myself down if I didn't ask this. I've asked the other two this question. Have you ever eaten a raw hot dog?
All the time.
All the time. Still today?
Still to this day, even my daughter does. My
really?
Wife thinks we're disgusting. I'm like, they're already cooked.
Oh, really? Today, still you do it?
Uh-huh. Man. Not as often, but like if we're making hot dogs, yeah, I'll fucking munch down on one. Dude, I'm the king of fucking white trash food. I'm sending you, hey, look, I'm eating some fucking Vienna sausages. You know what I mean?
I liked how you sent me the other day that you made homemade enchiladas. I thought that was a great idea because it's not, I mean, I don't hate it. You know what I mean? No. It's just funny that out of all the items at Taco Bell, you guys chose the enchilada, which for those that don't know, it's a bean burrito with enchilada sauce on it, basically, right?
Yeah, basically. you can still get it if you know how. If you order a beef and bean burrito and ask for red sauce with, like,
sure.
Don't ask for any of the toppings or lettuce or anything like that. But, dude, I was so pissed when they took it off the menu a few years ago because I was like a secret item, you know, not many people, you know, remembered it. But I loved it. I'd always get the steak or the chicken, and my wife had never had them. And I was like, "You've never had an enchilada?" And she's like, "No." I was like, "All right, I'm making one." And she's, dude, they came out bomb. She's like,
"It's so funny, dude." All that it is really is bean enchiladas. Like, you can get those at a Mexican restaurant, but they call them like this crazy name.
Yeah,
that's how I felt when they took the Mexican pizza away for the first time, and I'm really glad that they brought that back because I was getting on edge a little bit about the Mexican pizza being gone. That is a life changing item, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you said that you had one recently too, and you spent like $50. At Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Hey,
and I think it was closer to 60.
Really?
It was like 50. It was over. It was like 55 or 56 bucks.
I mean, you got to do it sometimes. And we're definitely jumping ahead. But what is, you know, your go to fast food place? You know, if you could have any, I'm not even counting regional. I'm counting any. And then we'll narrow it down to regional.
Oh, any? Man.
Do you want me to pull some up here for you?
Yeah, you can. Ah, that's a tough one because there's some from out Midwest when I was in the Air Force that we don't have out here. Like, well, we have Popeyes, but they're not super close. I always like Popeyes because I'd never had it until I went out there. And Whataburgers were good too.
Well, this is kind of cool here. I'll pull up this. This is clearly a biased map. I think Chick-fil-A sponsored it. But this is supposed to be
Chick-fil-A like a couple times.
Chick-fil-A is nothing to get that excited about, man. So here are what people enjoy at each state.
That is highly biased.
Yeah, because Texas is definitely Whataburger.
Yeah.
Arizona, I would say, I mean, Wiener Schnitzel's not even on the map here.
And White Castle's huge over here in Pennsylvania as well.
Yeah, that's a bullshit map. Here are the big ones. Whoops. Here are the big ones. You know, you've got Taco Bell, Sonic, Wendy's, McDonald's, Subway. Subway can get fucked as far as I'm concerned.
So I know we weren't going to talk conspiracies, but look at the Taco Bell logo. What do you see?
It's an Illuminati eye. All seeing
what
eye.
Else do you see?
A dick and a tit.
Do you see the six?
Mm-mm.
Okay, look at the rim and how it separates and then comes back around.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's not that much of a six, though.
Okay, but guess how many sides of the building that logo is on?
Three.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just
Taco Bell is a big Illuminati.
It's a toss up, honestly, between Taco Bell or Wendy's for me.
Wendy's is a sleeper.
Yeah, because I love their spicy chicken sandwich.
Sure.
And I'm going to get a lot of hate from some of your listeners. I'll put Wendy's chicken sandwich up against fucking Chick-fil-A any day.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get hate on that. I think that's fine to say. Oh, here we go. This is a little bit more widespread.
Oh, I do love Arby's, though, too. Fuck.
Arby's has the meats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do. They have really good gyros.
The gyros are good.
Yeah.
I stand behind the fish sandwich. I mentioned this recently.
The last time I went there, I forgot to order one because you told me about they have a spicy fish sandwich, don't they?
They have a spicy, I believe. I know Jack in the Box has the jalapeno fish sandwich, and that one's nice.
I haven't had Jack in the Crack since I was out west.
Jack in the Box has some very unique items, and they have for quite some time. They have the egg roll, and they have the teriyaki bowl, and that's a nice little thing to be able to go out late at night when you're drunk, high, or both, and want to get something fun. You know, I don't know if you remember the panini that they used to do there. Or no, what were they called? They were like torpedoes or something. I'll see if I can find that because that was a nice, I'm looking for jobs right now. Gotcha. So that's why one of my tabs is open, but yes. Let's see. Jack in the Box.
It's funny. I can never not say Jack in the Crack. We just always called it Jack in the Crack. Must've been a military thing. I don't know.
Yeah, people call it Jack in the Crack. I've heard that several times. Okay.
We'd only get that when we go to Vegas because they didn't have them, or if we went down to Lubbock. I think they had them in Lubbock, Texas.
The panito. This thing.
Does that got bacon on it?
It sure does, buddy. And then that's the thing. I mean, they had some different ones. The panito is nice. They have over there right now, if you ever get the Munchie Meal, behold the Munchie Meal. This is a phenomenal thing that they do. And this, to me, this nacho chicken sandwich, it's got onion rings, chicken, hot sauce, cheese. Look at that. That
looks, my mouth's watering.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually giving me a stomach ache because I just ate fish, fucking fried fish. But with the Munchie Meal for six.
If I was a millionaire right now, I would hop on my private jet, fly out there and get one. And you'd be coming with me.
One of these?
Yeah.
You don't have a Jack in the Box out there?
No.
What? I thought this was a massive chain. That's interesting.
It is. I mean, it might be in some of the bigger cities like Pittsburgh or Philly.
It's got to be.
But dude, I don't remember seeing one down in Harrisburg, though, either.
So look, $6, you get a sandwich of your choice, two tacos. I don't know if you're seeing this here, Ghost. Both types of fries, curly and straight, you get.
Yeah.
And a drink of your choice. I mean, this is phenomenal. That's my go-to is that nacho chicken sandwich. They also have the brunch burger and the sourdough grilled cheese. So
does McDonald's do a brunch burger as well?
I hope not. They might.
Because I saw a video today and it was a McDonald's employee. I thought he was making a sausage breakfast sandwich because he put a hash brown on it and he called it the brunch burger. Dude, that looks good too.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. I didn't know KFC offered that. It looks like it's got ham and cheese and maybe a special sauce.
Got all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah, man. I think, did we narrow it down what your favorite fast food chain is? Talking specific fast food. You said Wendy's, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a toss up between Wendy's or Taco Bell.
Okay. That's all right. What about pizza chains? Big ones. The big four: Little Caesars, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's. A big question here on this show.
Yeah, I hate garbage pizza. But if I had to choose one, I'd have to go with probably Papa John's because they have the dipping sauce and they offer the pepperoni.
And you like how the guy says the N-word casually, right?
Yes. Yes, I do. Like
that's that. A good you thing. Know,
with me being black and all, I really enjoy that.
It resonates with your people.
It does.
Yeah, dude. No, I, it's always,
I can't stand Pizza Hut. I can't.
Why?
Stand.
You grew up in the 80s when they had the buffet, man. That doesn't even bring nostalgia for you.
Pizza Hut is not what it used to be. Man, I remember going there, you know, that would be like maybe a monthly treat.
Yeah.
Parents would get a deep dish. Couldn't wait to get the breadsticks. And we'd sit there and fucking chow down. And now when I eat it, dude, it turns my stomach. It's just nothing but fucking grease. There's hardly any sauce on it. It's just, and I'm a thin crust kind of guy. So yeah. I don't know. So like, I'm very fortunate. So are you in some of our talks, but we have a lot of local, like Italian restaurants around pizza shops and what have you. So we have really good pizza. And I'm not far from Old Forge, where it's the pizza capital of the East Coast. So
this might be a stupid question. Do you fuck with frozen pizza? And if so, which one?
You're going to laugh. If doctored up the right way, you can make a Tony's pizza taste banging.
How? That's the worst choice to me.
Uh-huh. I'm okay. Poor. So growing up, that's what we had was Tony's pizza. There was one, and I don't remember what it was. This was when I lived in Idaho, but they were little round personal pizzas and they had a very unique taste with their sauce. And every time I think about it, I always remember eating them and watching Raggedy Ann and Andy. and I can still taste the taste of it, but I've never been able to recreate it or whatever, but I'll put Italian seasoning on there, some fresh mushrooms, olives, you know, maybe some ham and a little bit of extra cheese. I might sprinkle a little extra sauce here and there, you know, and get that crust nice and crispy. I'm like I said, it has to be a thin crust for me. My wife.
So you would take the plain Tony's pizza and put your own shit on it.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
that's okay. What I said. You got to doctor it up a little bit, you know? You
take that's why I was
pizza and doctor it up.
That's why I was confused. I was thinking, how the fuck do you doctor up a frozen pizza? But I guess that's thinking outside the
Italian
box.
Yeah, you got to sprinkle some Italian seasoning on there, maybe a little garlic powder.
Huh.
You know.
I like that, dude. And you know, you took a pull of that beer at a perfect time. You like trashy beer.
I do. I grew up poor. poor is in my blood. You know what I mean? If I would hit the lottery and be a multimillionaire, I would still drink trashy beer. Now, don't get me wrong. I like a good craft beer now and again. In fact, I was kind of bummed because Friday I went down. I was going to get a sour sampler and I could. My out here, sorry, folks, we still have beer distributors. Yeah, we can get it in the grocery stores and some in the gas station. But in order to get a 30 pack or a case, you have to go to a beer distributor. Mm. But they didn't have any. They didn't have any sour samplers. Now,
sour sampler.
Like a sour beer.
Okay. Like a Gose.
Yeah. Just like them. Yeah. And because when over the 4th of July weekend, when I went up to the cabin and what have you, my cousin, he brought a sample pack of a sour. So I was like, oh, fuck yeah. You know, and my wife, she can't. Well, she's like, man, those pucker. And I'm like, oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Anything sour.
You like pickled food, like sour food like that too?
Uh-huh.
That's a big thing for me, dude. Like, I don't know if you ever fuck with like the pickled cauliflower and carrots and shit. Mm-hmm. Like all that, dude, I'll fight someone over that shit. It's good.
You know what I had for the first time? This was it? Yeah, we went up to the cabin last year. I had, they're called dilly beans. They're found in some of these local Amish stores. You know, you can't even pay with card. Well, some of them you can. It all depends. they're Mennonite, whatever. But what they are is they're pickled green beans. So they cut them to fit the jar, and they pickle them. And some the ones that we had up there, you know, had some red pepper flakes in it, so it had a little bite to it. Dude, I personally almost downed that whole jar. And then that same summer when we came back, I fucked up the recipe. I don't know what I did. I added too much salt somehow, because I tried to make them and can them myself. And, you know, we pulled some out. I don't know. It was like a month later after I let them in there to soak up the flavor really good. I looked at my wife. I was like, holy fucking salt. It's like, this sucks. But if you ever get a chance, I don't know if they're offered out there. They pickled green bean, man.
I think I've had pickled green beans before. I know I've seen them. Cause I love okra. I pickled or fresh. It's fine. You know what I mean? I'll fuck with some okra, but, we'll get back to more food stuff. I kind of wanted to get into your military experience and all that good shit. What made you join? Was it 9/11 like so many other people, or was it, you know, from what I understand, I remember the timeline, how it worked out for you, but just to, explain to people here, what made you join the military?
I come from a long line of military, in my family, my dad, my grandfather. No, when I refer to my dad, it's my real dad. So my dad, my grandfather, my great grandfather, you know, and on my dad's side of the family, our ancestors came over on the Mayflower. So that side of my family has been here since pretty much the conception, you know what I mean? And, so I originally, it was funny, cause I was checking out the different branches, and two summers before is when I was 16, when I went out and I visited my dad, I got certified to be a scuba diver. And when I came back, the Navy, you know, when I sat down with them, they're like, oh, you want to be a SEAL? We can do this. And I was like, yeah, maybe so. And the more I thought about it, I was like, man, their fucking uniforms are gay as fuck.
The Navy?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to be a seaman. So I talked with the Army. I'm like, eh, you're not really offering much. Was all set to go Marine Corps. And because I went through a growth spurt that one summer, it was either that summer or the summer after that. I mean, I grew like probably 4 or 5 inches in a summer. I just boom, shot up, and my knees hurt. Well, growing pains. Well, my doctor at the time, high hippie. I mean, fucking always high. I know that because I went to school with his son, and his son was steal a stash.
Nice.
But he put in my fucking charts that I had possible Oshkosh-Schlatter's disease, which is
what the fuck's that?
It's a deteriorating disease that basically breaks down your bones and your knees over time. I'm like, what the fuck?
It sounds like rickets, like one of those old timey diseases.
Yeah. So I was like, I was pissed, and I was like, well, fuck you. And I walked out and I looked to my right and I was like, well, I haven't talked to the Air Force. So I went in, talked to them. They took me in. The rest was history. Because nice. my dad was Navy. I think my grandfather was Navy. I had some Army in there. And I don't know. Like I said, I didn't dig being called a seaman, and I didn't like their uniforms. I call it tacky. I mean, I don't dog anybody for going to the Navy. I mean, but I think the Air Force, and you know,
I think that the Navy has the number one. I don't know how you put this, but the Navy is like the branch with the most out of shape people in it. And you'd think it would be the Air Force.
Really? Because I would have said the Air Force right out the gate.
Yeah, well, supposedly it's the Navy, from what I heard. Now, this was a few years ago. I mean,
let's see if we can look that up, because all we had to do is ride a fucking stationary bike for 20 minutes or whatever every year. That was our PT test once we were done with basic.
I'm looking it up right now.
Because all the other branches did push-ups, sit-ups, and I think a 2-mile run.
Yeah.
I serve, dude, there's dudes in there on the fat boy program. They either had to lose some weight or they lost rank.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything directly pop up. But the one in five troops are too fat to fight. There's a lot of pictures of Private Pyle in here. From
I liked Private Pyle.
I related to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Here, we might have something here.
Felt bad for the fuck.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, right? It's a fucked up movie.
It was a great movie, but yeah, fucked up.
Yeah, dude. Go on.
I saw Arlie Ermey at before he died at our we have a big outdoor show in down in Harrisburg every year, and he was a guest speaker. So he was like standing in the middle, and you know, obviously it was sectioned off, and there was bleacher seats and what have you. But I went up to, you know, the fence, got a picture of him. I was like, "Fuck yeah, that's Arlie Ermey, man."
Yeah, man. When I type that in, the Air Force pops up right away. When I ask military branch with the most fat people, but it doesn't specifically say. Oh yeah, Navy is the fattest. So look, I'll share this with you. Oh,
okay.
Supposedly it's the Navy, dude. That's what I'm saying. And I do think that that's kind of interesting. But yeah, we have right here, Navy is the fattest branch of the military. The Pentagon reports. It's multiple sources.
Okay. Hey, that makes me happy, because when I was in, we were considered the fattest branch. Because they didn't make us run or anything. You know what I mean? Or do push-ups or sit-ups.
Yeah, look, this one's saying it too. So there's three sources saying it.
All right.
Yeah, man, but look at the year. I mean, this is around 2019. I don't know how often they test this. I think it makes sense. The Air Force, a lot of people like to bag on in the military. I like a lot of that military culture.
Totally.
And I know a lot of the other branches will say, and even like Border Patrol and shit like that, which isn't technically a military branch, I don't think. I don't think that's Coast Guard, right? That would be something different.
Yeah, Coast Guard's in the military.
Yeah, Coast Guard's one of the five. You got Coast Guard, Marines, Army, Air Force, Navy.
And Space Force now.
Space Force would make the six. You're right. So, but yeah, no, I think that it's interesting that all these other branches make so much fun of the Air Force. And dude, that's an important aspect of like 21st century fighting, you know what I mean? And you know, maybe
all fights are done from the air.
Well, yeah, and the United States supposedly has the strongest military because we have the two largest air forces. We have the Air Force and then the Navy's Air Force, right? Yep. Or the naval planes. But yeah, maybe that's why, because the Navy is not only on boats, but they're also in planes like that. Dude, if I had to pick a branch, I'd pick Air Force all day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like necessarily easy, but it just seems like the way to go.
No, where the Air Force differs. Okay. Now, basic, we did push ups, sit ups, you know, we did PT, you know, and ran. That was like the only time. Well, and tech school, we had to run every morning.
The only time.
But what sets the Air Force apart is their standards are a lot higher for the ASVAB ranking. So you have to have a decent brain on you to get in. You know what I mean? It's
technical,
not like
shit.
Yeah, a lot of technical and a lot of high attention to detail, the smallest shit. I mean, most of the other branches, they rolled their t-shirts. We had to fold ours into 6-inch squares, and every fold had to line up perfectly. So you'd sit there with tweezers and you just pick it and put an iron on it, pick it, put an iron on it. So we got a system in basic training. Some guys were really good at folding the shirt. Some guys were good at doing the underwear. Some guys were good at socks. Some guys were good at the BDUs or the, you know, so whoever was good at what, some guys were good at, I was one that was good at, you know, shining shoes, you know, the boots. So I'd have a whole bunch of boots. I'd polish them. Hey, fuck, fold my shirts. You know what I mean? You know, you just barter and trade. But I mean, it was,
that's so that funny.
Tedious. It was crazy. But
yeah,
if you know your three big main jobs, the backbone of an Air Force is you have a crew chief who's responsible for maintaining the aircraft. You have weapons, which is what I was. They are the true backbone of the Air Force, because without us, it's just another fucking airline. That's one of our taglines. It's on one of my coins. Without us, it's just another airline, because, you know, we load the ammo for the gun, the missiles, the bombs, rockets, if applicable. And then you had avionics, which took care of the radar system. And so those were the three big ones that were always out on the flight line. And those were the three that always ragged on each other the most.
So the chief, the weapons loaders, and then the radar.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, man, I think that had to have been kind of cool to see all the weapons, like see all the, not the bullets. I mean, bullets would be cool to see, but like, rockets, like you say, and bombs. I mean, there's something that is cool about seeing like a live bomb And it may be kind of like a meathead statement to make, but I think that it's kind of cool to know, like, yeah, I'm putting this in a plane and it's going to fuck some people up.
Mm-hmm.
There's something cool about that.
Oh, there's something very cool about that. You know what I mean? It's like every other branch sends their enlisted out to go fight. The Air Force sends their officers out to go fight. So we stay back at the airbase while the officers are up there flying around, risking getting shot down or whatever. And they're just fucking dropping bombs, throwing missiles, you know, popping chaff, flare, whatever. Hopefully they're not in a dogfight and need to use their gun, you know, other than the A-10. That one's known for its gun system. They really built the plane around that gun system.
Huh.
That's so motherfucker. That takes out tanks.
There's not much dogfighting anymore in the military, is there?
Not really. We didn't experience much of it because I joined in 96.
Mm.
So I served from 96 to 2000. So 9/11 happened a year after I got out. But like I said, the Gulf War never fucking stopped. It might have said we stopped and you know, won on TV. But when I was over there, we were still dropping live bombs. We didn't fire any live missiles. There was a couple times where the Iraqis would, you know, test the waters and come into the fly zone that we were, you know, patrolling and what have you. But, you know, every time they took off, man, they were popping chaff and flare just to make sure that shit worked in case they needed to use it. And we kind of touched on the U-2 spy plane last night and what have you. That's where I got to see it in action. And that's why I was like, I don't think it flied too slow. I could see maybe back in the day, the SR-71 being more confused with maybe a UFO then, you know what I mean? Just because of its speed and capabilities, but I don't know, but times were different, you know, and you kind of mentioned that too, you know, from what we see today to back then, I mean, shit, we're leaps and bounds more technology than what they had in the '50s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, supposedly, I don't know why the author of that book cited that specifically. It's that Mind Control, World Control book.
Yeah.
And at the very end, he cites the U-2 spy craft, and it is a CIA plane. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that it gets a lot of the hype around it. Supposedly, it's been around since the 50s and 60s. Like, I don't know exactly what year. He doesn't say that. But, yeah, you know, it formally came out in 97. So, you know, that's right around when you're fucking around over there.
Yeah.
And
they wore spacesuits, dude.
They did?
Yeah, the pilots. Because they flew that high up. Like they were what's it, inner Earth orbit, pretty much. I mean, so they had spacesuits on, and man, the pictures that they used to use you know, from the cameras on that shit, you know, and it was used a lot in the Cold War to see what the Russians were doing and what have you before it was even, you know, announced.
Yeah,
but it was neat because it had pogo the wheels for the wings because they stuck out so far. So when it took off, they had I believe it was a Corvette at the time. You know, it was kind of souped up, so it could keep up. It would take off. This Corvette was a chase vehicle. It'd drive all the way down, you know, as fast as it could because, you know, other aircraft need to get on there. They'd grab these pogo, we called them pogo sticks, and they'd gather them, and then when it landed, they had guys at the end, you know, waiting for it. So when it went by, they could hook it up quick, so the wings didn't touch the ground. It had something to stabilize. It was a neat sight.
Oh shit, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, dude,
it's crazy how much that's changed even since, like, even today. I'm sure that there's a different system for that. Maybe not, but yeah, dude. No,
I don't even know if they even still use it. I mean, they might, but it's hard to say. You know what I mean?
They're probably all in Afghanistan now, to be honest. You know what I mean?
True.
Fucking left them there. So you go in before 9/11. You're loading weapons during the Gulf War. Do you think that they were dropping a lot of those bombs just on empty, you know, patches of desert? Do you think they were actually bombing people?
See, we weren't privy to the targets. You know what I mean? Because it's a need to know. I would assume if they're going to waste the money, it's going to be on an actual target. You know what I mean? I wouldn't see them just drop them just to drop them, you know,
not to keep their budget up, you don't think, or to feed the military industrial complex.
Well, you know, that does make sense because, you know, when during the end of a fiscal year, you know, we burn through as much fuel as we can, so we make sure we get the next budget. And then, like, for I don't know, probably 2-3 weeks before, you know, before the new fiscal year starts, we're hardly even flying, you know, so we're just doing maintenance on them and what have you, kind of standing around because we burn through all, you know, all the fuel. So that could be, you know, you use up the old stock, you know, and get your budget, da 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 da. So they could have been just target practice, you know what I mean? But, you know, it was some pretty cool, you know, especially the AGM-65, which is an air-to-ground missile. It's TV guided. So if you remember all those old footages or even some from now, where you're seeing this bomb come from up top,
yeah,
and it's getting closer, and then poof, just a big light. Those are TV guided bombs, and they are amazing. Like when we'd load the dummy ones, and you weren't supposed to do this. The only thing that was live on it, you know, for training purposes, was that camera.
Yeah.
So you could turn it to heat, or you could turn it to what was the other one? Infrared, I think. And we'd fuck around and we'd lock on to someone way down at another squadron, and it would pick them up walking, right? We'd turn it on heat, it'd pick up a human. And if they're walking in front of the jet, the camera starts doing like a figure eight, looking for that heat source. And then all of a sudden it'll lock back on and start tracking them again. But, you know, you didn't want to get caught doing that because it's like, you know, you had to treat it like it was a live weapon.
But, sure.
Yeah, it was fucking neat. We'd lock on trains going by and he'd just fucking track it and what have you.
That's dope, dude. Yeah. It's so funny giving like a bunch of fucking kids, because that's what you guys are at that age, giving kids millions of dollars in weapons.
Uh-huh.
It's wild.
18, 19 years old working on a multi-million dollar F-16 with multi-million dollar round, you know, weapons.
Yeah. It's nuts, dude. It's crazy, the system that we have here. But so obviously you like that, and you get out right before 9/11. Mm-hmm. Any temptation to sign back up after that, or did you kind of see through 9/11 as bullshit, or what was the deal there?
At first, yeah, it was huge. But my ex-wife, I should say, ended up getting pregnant, and I had to really weigh this option, because I was like, okay, I'm going to be a first-time dad, or do I, you know, try to go back in and go over and load some bombs and fuck some shit up? Cause that's still the mindset that I was in. You know what I mean? I still have that military, strong military mindset. A lot of that has with forced effort, you know, except for a couple things, you know, toilet paper has to be, it goes over the top, you know, when you unroll it, lace is tucked in, gig light, you know, we've kind of talked about, you know, some of that with the, you know, and military indoctrination, which is basically a form of MK Ultra, is what basic training is.
You still fold your shirts into 6-inch squares?
That I don't.
With tweezers.
And I do not make my bed with a military corner. When I got out, I said, I am never making a fucking bed again. And my wife's the bed maker. And every now and again, she'll be like, can you at least just make the bed? And I would never do it right to her standards. So I quit doing it again. She's like, you don't even make the bed. I'm like, because every time I do, you go back and fucking change it the way you like. I don't care if I have to get into a fucking made bed. I just want covers over me. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even make that year. Yeah, I don't make my bed here. We don't make our bed. It's no. Just, you know what
and
I mean?
Her sister doesn't either. She likes a made bed to pull the covers back and hop in. Whatever. Hey, that gives you a sense of solitude and joy and whatever.
It is nice, but I mean, like, dude, I'm always running around. Like, I don't have any time for that shit. Who has time to make a fucking bed? So, no, I mean, it is nice that she does that. Because you got to admit, it is kind of nice, like peeling back the cover. It's nice. It's not like it's going to change my mind. I'm going to be like, well, I'm not going to sleep in this bed. It wasn't fucking made.
Right.
But it's definitely, there's something to it. So, yeah, man, no, I think that it's interesting. And I should thank you for your service. You know what I mean? Oh, I think welcome. That, you know, everyone that does that, man, whether it's for the GI Bill, which, you know, that's kind of a shitty excuse to get in there. But everyone that goes in there and does, it's done more than I have. You know what I mean? One of my big regrets is not getting in the military, but,
But you can be a patriot, in other ways. You know what I mean? You don't, obviously you're not going to get the same stamina or people look at you a different way when, you know, and that took a long time, and it is still weird. Like when people thank me, it's just like, don't thank me. I don't give a fuck. You know, I did it, you know, whatever, you know? And like, I went to a hockey game the one time and with my wife's uncle, and they wanted to acknowledge all the vets, and you know, a lot of the old timers, you know, Vietnam, mainly Vietnam, maybe some World War II, I doubt it, but it was mainly Vietnam vets.
Yeah,
you know, you'd see them standing up, And he's like nudging me. He's like, stand up. I'm like, no, no, let them have, you know, let them have the credit. I don't fucking need that. You know what I mean? It's just kind of how I was raised. You know what I mean? Like, I just,
yeah. Be low but, key. Yeah, no, I got to ask you this then, since you're in the military, come from a very patriotic family. Did you or your family stand up for the national anthem when it was being played on the TV at home?
My family, no.
Do you?
Me now, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That's so funny.
Because I have a little beef with Ron from New England. His 4th of July episode, I was listening to it, and I'm driving down the road. I'm almost back to the shop, right? His outro song was the fucking national anthem, and I'm sitting there fucking that this is still part of that MK Ultra mind control shit that they do to you in base. I'm like, motherfucker, I can't fucking pull over. I can't, you know, if I reach over to fucking stop, the camera's gonna see me thinking I'm gonna play with my I'm sitting there fucking kind of almost wigging out. I'm like, I can't stand up, you know, this is the fucking national anthem. But yeah, we watch football. No one else in the house, you know, I stand, put my hand over my heart. You know, it's just,
that's so funny to me. That's funny, man. No, I think that's like, I don't know why that's so funny, but like, just like, or if you're all by yourself, you'll stand up and
Yeah.
That's so funny, dude. Well, hey, you know,
it was ingrained in you. You know, if you're on base, you know, every day they played it at 5 o'clock, you know, you had to stop, you know, face wherever the flag was, you know, you salute. If you were in your car, you had to pull over to the side of the road, you know, all sorts of shit. You know, it was just, so programmed. You know, you hear that national anthem, you stop and you're at attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things like the Pledge of Allegiance. It took me a while to kind of realize that that's a little weird. Pledging allegiance to a flag and all that shit.
Well, that was a psyop.
A lot of it is, man. You know what I mean? And for some reason now it's out of schools, which I don't know what that means for generations here. I think that honestly, I do think that it is to train kids to not be patriotic, which I have a big problem with, but yeah, dude, no, that's hilarious to me. So when do you get married to your current wife, who also has a son of hers? So that's your stepson, yeah, right?
Two sons. She has an older son. I don't know. He went through some shit. He don't really talk.
Okay.
And her youngest son. Now I help raise the youngest son. You know, my daughter will be 19 tomorrow. He'll be 21 this October. So they're like a year and a half, almost 2 years apart. So, but okay. We got married 5 years ago, but we've been together. I think this will be our 14th year together. We've been together for a while. Like we both came out of marriages. So we weren't really in a rush, you know, like the idea of like, whatever, you know, I don't need that headache again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I bought a house and she's like, you know, why don't we get married? Oh, okay. So we did, you know,
did she ask you? Going anywhere.
No, I asked her. I did propose to her.
She told you to ask her though?
No, I just, randomly popped the question. Like, we were engaged for years,
yeah,
you know, and that was about the extent of it, you know what I mean? We never okay, yeah, you're my fiance, whatever, you know.
Okay.
I'm cool with that, you know, title. But after we bought a house, we were like, you know what, I think we're just kind of settling down, you know. I'm 45, she's 51, you know, she's a couple years older than me, you know.
Yeah,
going after the Cougars,
nothing
wrong with that at all. Apparently there's a few of us in this podcast game that went after some Cougars. So
like the old beef.
Yeah. You know, it's experienced. It knows what it likes. And it's a good time. So
they're not as whorish. There's a lot of 20 year old, 30 year old women that are whores.
Whores.
Bad. Yes. So yeah. It's interesting. I don't know when that changed, but yeah, man, like I've dated some girls younger than me by like 3-4 years, you know, when I'm 25, they're 21, 22. I dated one girl that was 19 when I was 22. Really, really beautiful chick. Awesome girl. Fun. Parents were fucking dope. Everything was really cool with her, but dude, just a fucking, I mean, stab you in the back if you weren't looking, you know what I mean? And even though she was raised with her mom and her dad, there's just something programmed in a lot of these girls that makes them fucking like just down to fucking like flirt with other dudes and fuck oftentimes. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm with you on that. How long were you single? After how long did your first, because you were married before, how long did were you single after that divorce?
Two years. Like we met each other by happenstance, actually. I was kind of talking to her cousin. It was a girl I went to high school with, which was weird because we in high school we hated each other. Yeah. And we were kind of talking, and then she got fucking weird quick. Like she thought we were gonna fucking elope in October. We were just started talking in like I don't know, August. You know what I mean? Like fucking cuckoo, batshit crazy. Ooh. And I remember meeting her one time. She came over to her house, and we kicked it off, like kicked off a good conversation because I didn't really know her, but we had. She was friends with a lot of my close friends that I went to high school with, and we just started talking. And then at first, I thought she was like trying to spy on me for a cousin. Like she texts me and this and that. And I'm just like, dude, stop. You know what I mean? You know, I want nothing to do with her. You know, she's a fucking whack job. And she's like, no, I just want to be your friend. And I guess what sealed the deal is I flat out told her I don't seek friends. And apparently that made me a challenge. So then the rest is history.
Nice. Okay. Oh, yeah. Dude,
I was at a point in my life. I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of being this pretend person to try and keep my ex-wife or whatever that I had went through, went down the whole Christianity thing, deep, hard, read Bible cover to cover. That's when I got baptized in the Susquehanna, you know, went through that. And then after that divorce is probably when I started really questioning things and, you know, opening my mind to other thoughts and venues, you know what I mean? Not just conspiracy, but just in life in general. And I was like, you know what, if I ever meet another woman, you're going to like me for me. At nature, I can be a dick. I've since changed that a lot, you know, especially since getting into podcasting and listening to podcasts, you know, just trying to be a better person, be nice, you know, say hi to somebody, let them go first or whatever, you know, and just not be a fucking asshole all the time. And, but yeah.
Yeah, man. There's something about just like, just being fucking confident in yourself and comfortable in your own skin and all that shit. I do think it's kind of funny that a lot of people that get into conspiracies seem to get into it because of a specific like global event. But it seems like what got you into it was a divorce. And I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, that didn't necessarily get me into conspiracies. I've always been into them, you know, since like probably middle school, you know. And I think you and I had talked about this before. Like the first thing that I really ever thought was like conspiracy and secret was like the Masons. You know what I mean? You always heard, you know, I told you the story before, you know, sitting there on the steps in the local town there in the town I grew up in here in Pennsylvania, and my buddy and I talking, yeah, you know, if you talk bad about the Masons, they'll make you disappear. They'll take you out and kill you. Oh, really? Yeah. And then, you know, you go to the library and find whatever possible book on conspiracy theories or cryptid, you know, UFO, you know, whatever. So Bigfoot, UFOs, you know, stuff like that. That was like the early stages of me getting into like conspiracies. And so I've always been that kind of question things, and you know, so but what's really weird is a lot of people woke up at 9/11. It took me a while to wake up after 9/11. Like I said, a year fresh out of the military, so I bought the narrative hard. You know what I mean? I wanted to go fucking kill
Bin Laden, all these
Bin
guys.
Laden. Yeah, I almost said some things that I probably shouldn't say.
Yeah.
You know, military language that we used to use back in the day.
Sure.
But I wanted to go do it. Let's blow these people up. You know, they blew us up. Let's go fucking light their ass on fire, you know?
Yeah.
And then you had like Toby Keith coming out with all these music, and, you know, and other artists, you know, and it was like, you just pumping the flames and flames and flames. And then after a while you start looking into it, especially the Pentagon and Building 7. And then Flight 93, which went down in Shanksville, which is not all that far from where I live, you know, maybe a couple hours, no debris, nothing. You know what I mean? It's just like, all right, shit's not adding up. Let's start looking into this. But it took me a while to get there before, you know, a lot of other conspiracy theories were on it almost right out the gate. You know what I mean?
I've gone back and forth on that, dude. I must have misunderstood you when you said that, you know, that opened your mind. You know, it must have been more spiritual shit or you know, the answers to the universe or whatever. Okay, so yeah, misunderstanding there. But yeah, no, definitely I went back and forth myself on 9/11. I thought that it was real. You know, I was a fucking young kid, too. Mm-hmm. I was, what, 10 in 2001? Yeah, 10. I was born in 91.
Okay.
You know, thinking it, buying a hook, line, and sinker because I'm a child. And then in middle school, starting to, like, ask questions. You know what I mean? So four years later or so, 3 years later. But I mean, dude, you know, it's pounded in a lot of people's heads. And then like my sister was indoctrinated in it too. And she wasn't even alive when the whole thing went down, you know, but she's on her Instagram posting about, you know, never forget and all this shit. And I always go on there and she stopped doing it, but I would always go on there and be like, you weren't even alive during this. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I always have to troll her, be the big brother. But, yeah, man, it is wild. The ways that they make this shit happen. And we're all too familiar with it. In this little community here. But yeah, dude. So like where you're at now, you know, you seem pretty happy, you know, and that you seem that after the military, growing up, eating raw hot dogs, you know, fucking, you know, going through one marriage.
Try one.
No. I told Adam the closest that I've gotten to eating a raw hot dog is heating them up, letting them cool off to room temperature. And I would hold them like a cigar when I was a kid and take bites out of them like that, you know, like a cigar. Nice. And like, just hold them like sitting on the couch watching fucking, you know, Fairly Odd Parents or some shit and just eating a cigar.
The funny thing, I used to do that with Vlasic pickles because of the commercial. He would hold it like that and be like, Vlasic, see?
Yeah. You know?
I would do that. Yeah.
Yeah, acting like a mobster fucking chewing on a wiener. But yeah, no, so you know, you have a marriage that fails, happens all the time. You find one that you're happy in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, dude, I think that it's pretty cool. And now you're podcasting. I gotta ask, what got you into podcasting too? There had to have been some shows out there that, you know, not anything to do with like our kind of story, how we met, but like, what got you into like wanting to do a podcast in the first place? Because you don't seem like an overly chatty person. You seem like you like to connect with people. Mm-hmm. But like me, I can ramble, I can talk, I can bullshit about all kinds of stuff. You seem like you are very different in that aspect, but you do like the connection with people, it seems.
Yeah. And it all depends on sounds kind of woo-woo, but the energy that you know, you pick up in a conversation. Like you and I can sit there and ramble with you. You know what I mean? Other people, you know, there's times, you know, like I think it has a little bit to do with my upbringing. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have the greatest and couldn't really trust people growing up. So it's like but doing a podcast has really changed that for me. It's gotten me to be more chatty and to actually pay attention to a conversation a little bit more. Like, were before, you know, my wife could have told me something. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. And
she'd be like, well, we talked about it last night. Oh, we did? Oh, I have no memory of it. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, just letting, I guess, shit just go for no reason.
In one ear out the other. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I knew about podcasts, but I'd never listened to them. And it was, I think it was the second year after we got our house here. And I took 2 weeks off. We were getting chickens and I wanted to build a chicken coop. And I was at the point where I was done listening to talk radio. You know what I mean? I listened to the big three. You know, you had Glenn Beck, Rush, and then Hannity, you know, and that's all I listened to, you know, delivering beer at that time, you know. And my wife would be like, how can you listen to that all day? I'm like, I don't know. It's just information. One day I just needed to take in information. You know what I mean? And it was weird. I remember, it was when I first started delivering beer, you know, I would always have music on back in the day, but I had like an hour commute. Something just clicked in me. I was like, I need a source of information because I always like learning new things.
Yeah.
And then, so I took those 2 weeks off and to build a chicken coop. And I did it under our carport, you know, so it's shady and what have you. And I pulled up my phone. I had, you know, my JBL out there and I was like, well, I'm going to look at a podcast. And I just typed in something like Sasquatch or Bigfoot. And, you know, because you know me, have a little bit of a passion for the big hairy guy or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, dude. It's one of the early conspiracy theories that a lot of kids get into. My dad loved Bigfoot as a kid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's something that a lot of people like. So I totally understand it.
So Sasquatch Chronicles popped up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, let me listen to this. And I got hooked right away. I was like, man, these are some fucking crazy encounters these people are, you know, supposedly experiencing, what have you. And then somehow, I think it was through that, you know, he had a connection with Tony there for a little while and probably kind of helped him get a little bit bigger and what have you. And I started on the confessionals. And then that led, at that time, I was really into, you know, like the cryptids and what have you. And then one day I was just like, dude, there's got to be conspiracy theory podcasts out there. And I stumbled across, I'm not going to plug this person or his platform's name.
Oh, do whatever. No, whoever it is.
Not given. I don't care to. You know who it is. And I'm pretty sure the audience knows who it is. But came across that. And at the time, it was good. Okay. And it did connect me to a lot of other new podcasts, such as yours. And when I came across yours, I was just like, oh, dude, you had something unique. And it was still when Brandon was on. And I'm not going to lie, Brandon drove me nuts. You know what I mean? But I like the bantering. You know what I mean? And you brought a lot of good points. And I was just like, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. And one day, I finally got sick of the, you know, you hear your outro music and it's like, fuck, where's the rest of the conversation? I'm like, I got to sign up. And then one night I was drinking a beer and I was like, you know, I can hang with some of these guys on these topics, because I used to be in a lot of these Telegram chat, you know, channels and talk, and people be like, dude, you know, the shit you're bringing up. And I never looked at myself in that light. You know what I mean? Because like you said, I can be chatty, but I never looked at myself as a chatty person or someone that does have a brain in his head. You know,
or felt like your words mattered to anyone.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And one night I was just, gotta admit, I was a little drunk and I was like, you know what? I'm going to message Ryan on Instagram. If he gets back to me, he gets back to me. And dude, you got back to me. You're like, yeah, I'll help you. I was like, holy fuck, are you fucking serious? Like, and dude, I ain't going to lie. When I first met you, I fanboyed. I'm just like, holy fuck, this is Ryan D from Dangerous World
Podcast. That's so funny to hear, dude.
You know, it was weird. And now we've developed a beautiful friendship and, you know, talk a lot and it's just fun. And I think those Telegram conversations is, looking back on it, I didn't know it at the time, but I think that was actually prepping me to become a podcaster. It was kind of honing in those skills. Now, even when I first started, nervous as fuck, you know what I mean? Oh, hey, you want to come on and talk? You know, dude, my palms would get sweaty, just like Eminem sang in his song. I never understood that until I started. I was just like, what the fuck? You know, I'd be sitting here, I'd wipe my hands. I'm like, fuck, I'm nervous, you know, and now, you know, I'm not going to say I don't get nervous, but I'm really, really comfortable behind the mic now. You know what I mean? Like, and talking to different people and just being able to have a casual conversation. You know, we might start on a topic and then the conversation just goes to a completely other way. And whatever information comes out is what's meant to come out, you know, with that person, whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, I had Moral Bob on. You know, it was the first episode on Flat Earth.
Yeah.
We ended up talking about raising chickens by the end of it. You know what I mean? We talked about Flat Earth for a little bit, and then it was like we just went on a general conversation. And
that happens with Bob for some reason.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm good with that, because that, to me, I'm kind of like that. You know what I mean? I can just go, you know, and, you know, starting, you know, doing the talk at the tavern. At first, I didn't really talk much because I wanted everybody else. And now, you know, I interact a lot more and what have you. But yeah, it's just, it's fun. I never thought I'd be sitting here doing it. And
yeah.
And, you know, fuck, I got to talk to a childhood hero. I got to talk to Tommy fucking Chong. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, that's like, pretty dope.
I'm like, fuck, you know, I remember fucking couldn't wait for my parents to leave so I could sneak and watch, you know, like Up in Smoke or whatever, you know what I mean? Because I would have got fucking my ass beat if I watched it. But, you know,
yeah.
You know, obviously if they were adults, they could watch it, you know, but it's a blast. You know what I mean? I look forward to it and, you know, going on different shows is fun now. It's not nerve wracking. Coming to terms with people actually want to hear what you have to say and sit there and hold a conversation on a certain level of I'm not saying I'm a genius, but on a certain level of intellect on some of these topics, you know what I mean? I'll be the first to admit I'm not the greatest at doing research. It was the same way in school. You know, you put something that I had to study for a test, dude, ADHD, and I'm not ADHD at all, but I just get anything would sidetrack me. You know what I mean? And if you look into stuff, you know, it's easy for me to go down and, oh, look at that rabbit hole. Let's see where that goes. And next thing you know, I'm completely off topic of, you know, what we were originally set out to, you know, explore, like with the Pilgrim Society and what have you. And it's like, okay, you know, but that's something I think I'm going to try and work on. You know what I mean? Cause I can do it and do it in a way where I kind of want to do maybe something a little different down the road where I do kind of how you do, you know, you don't always have a guest on, you know, pick a topic and just kind of talk about it, whether it's 30 minutes or whatever, and maybe throw it on the Patreon, just something, yeah. Not like a rant, but just like, you know, I have this conspiracy dossier or whatever, you know, let's talk about the airships of the 1800s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, who knows? But
well, see, that's what's kind of cool. And when I say you have to, you know, obviously you don't have to do anything, but I think that it helps your ability to have like a more dynamic show, you know what I mean? And absolutely. You know, you can, then you have that in your pocket and, or if someone wants to get on your show and talk with you about something, you're more familiar with it. Yeah. Dude, I was always a horrible researcher in school. And that's what is really addicting to me personally about this whole thing is when I do my diligence and research a topic. And if I seem tired, dude, I'm sorry. I took an edible by mistake and I am fucking so high right now. I don't know if you can tell. Dude, yeah, I'm such a lightweight and I'm like just sitting here like fucking trying to stay awake.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
Dude, it's so funny because I wanted to take it because I wanted to get tired because I told you, and by the time this episode comes out, hopefully my truck is fixed, but my radiator shit on me. Yeah. And my awesome dad, who's such a G, dude, came out, helped me. We figured out that it was the radiator that's fucked up. I took it to his house. So he's going to go golf in the morning tomorrow. I went and bought a new radiator. We're going to fix that. Hopefully, by the time y'all are hearing this, my truck is back to normal and my fucking air conditioner works. And this goddamn 100 plus degree heat out here in Tucson. So anyway, you know, what were we saying before that? Before I got in my fucking tangent about,
you said you were really high because you accidentally ate an edible. You said, I'm sorry if I seem tired.
Yeah, no, it's not that I remember saying that. I thought
about me, maybe doing like a solo episode,
yeah,
you know, branching out and being able to, you know, have that in my pocket as a tool.
Yeah, so what I was getting at, why it's so addicting to me to do that research is because when I do my diligence on a topic and someone tells me that I do good research, that to me is fucking crazy to hear every time I hear it, because my teachers would always tell me how bad I was at researching and retaining information. Now, I go off notes in the episodes, but
all right, like, you have to.
Yeah, well, yeah, if it's an hour and a half long episode, you can't just memorize all this shit, but you know, being the one that's able to find this stuff and then someone actually thinking that I have somewhat of a good thought process on a specific topic to me is like I said, it's addicting. It's what I think really makes me want to grow the show is it's cool to hear that, dude, when you've been pounded in your head by the system that you're a below average or average human being, because that's what you are when you're a student, you're your grades. And so, you know, when you feel inferior compared to your peers because you're average or below average, your confidence is really kind of brought down. And then when people start telling you like how fucking crazy your research was, it's fucking cool, dude. You know what I mean? So I think that it would just, like I said, give your show a new dynamic to it. And like I said, another feather in that cap, dude. You can fucking be like, yeah, dude, I found all this shit. I have, you know, diverse opinions and all that. But, yeah, dude, let's wrap. Go ahead.
I told you, you know, when we first ever started talking, I'm like, man, you do great research. That's what I liked about listening to your show. And after getting to know your story, you know, and I was kind of the same way in high school. You know, I didn't get the best grades. I never really applied myself.
So
I
did bad.
1 year and I made honor roll. I was just like, you know, but that was just so I could, because I failed ninth grade and I wanted to graduate with my class. So the next year I actually just read and did the assignments and made the honor roll. So I had to do ninth and 10th grade all in 1 year in order to be a junior and then graduate. But, you know,
that's cool.
I was, you know, the same way, you know what I mean? And when I hear someone, you know, you get that random email or a comment on,
you know,
an episode, hey man, I love your show. You're doing a good job. Or you have a guest on Ghost. You're so easy to talk to. You're calm. You're not excited. You know, you don't cut me off and let me speak and what have you. And it's neat to hear that. It's hard because I've never grew up with compliments. You know, I made the honor roll that year. My mom, dad, stepdad, I was still a piece of shit in their eyes, still am to this day. So it was like, you know, whatever. So like when I hear compliments, like, why are you complimenting me? You know, what's your agenda? You know, who are you affiliated with? You know, but.
Well, you're not a piece of shit to me or to any of the people that listen. I think a lot of people appreciate the show. Yeah. And hopefully more and more people will do it all the time, man. I think that, you know, everyone in this community has like a different way of doing things. You brought up Bob earlier and I said, the topic always goes on tangents when you're with Bob. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know what I mean? I have one episode, I think, with Bob and about to release another one. And the first one, we were supposed to talk about the Vatican and all the weird shit in the library. I think we talked about that for 2 minutes in the entire episode, but it's got a ton of listens. Yeah. Because it's just a free flowing conversation. It was a blast. And I'd have him on anytime. I actually want to do one of these with him. But let's wrap up this show here talking a little more about some food. Because I do enjoy that. You cook a lot, right?
Yes, I do. I love cooking.
You send me pictures of a lot of the stuff that you make, and I appreciate that. What is your specialty? If you had to like nail it down to either a category or something that you make from scratch really well. What would that be? I know that you like Cajun, but are you necessarily a good Cajun cook?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do make a good jambalaya.
Okay.
Gumbo's up there too. Good at etouffee. It's hard for us to get crawfish here, so I usually do like a shrimp etouffee.
Sure.
But
you can't find crawfish, like frozen crawfish, even at Walmart?
It's hit or miss, especially not at Walmart. Our Walmart sucks.
Neighborhood market?
Yeah, so like our one local grocery store, they did every now and again they get them in. 1 year they did. I bought two big 5 pound bags of them. Me and the wife had a crawfish boil. It was just me and her. And then we're sitting there eating them. And she picks out this fucking large one, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm fucking tearing mine open. I look up and she's just sitting there holding it by the claws, making it fucking dance. What the fuck is wrong with you? She's like, I don't know, it's big, look at it, it's fucking dancing. I'm like, you're fucking crazy,
dude. You know what's so cool here? We have this Asian market, it's called Lili's. I call it Riri's because it's Riri's. Asian. I call it Riri's. It's so cool, dude. Like, first of all, I'll give you the bad news first about this place. You walk in there, it smells like a fish threw up on the floor. It's disgusting. But the good news is there's a lot of live fish and a lot of really cool shit you can do. Like there's live crab, live lobster, and you can take all this shit home. But dude, they had on the weekends, they'll do live crawfish and you can just sit there and pick up crawfish out of this thing with tongs and throw them in a bag and they're alive until you throw them in the boiling water. You know what I mean? And it's a little sad. You know what I mean? It is sad. But at the same time, they're bugs. Come on, let's just get over it here.
They're mud bugs.
Yeah, dude. Oh, so good, man. And yeah, crawfish, like a crawfish boil, is like one of the simplest things to make, but it is a good time.
Oh, it is. The first time I ever went to one, I was still in the Air Force. We had got back from Saudi Arabia. So we had like, when they give you time to get adjusted to the time, and then they give you like a free week, you know, of leave. So we got like 2 weeks off, and I went home with my buddy. At the time, he has since ended his life years and years ago, which I came to find out, you know, the hard way. I'm like, hey, has anybody heard from, you know, Marty Marr? And they're like, yeah, dude, he kind of bit the bullet. I was like, oh, Shit. Okay.
He shot himself, but, huh?
Yeah.
PTSD? So,
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I think he, I don't know. Could have got wrapped up in some drugs after he got out. I don't know. You know, because where he lived wasn't far from Beaumont, Texas. And Beaumont, I mean, if you were into Master P and all that back in the day, I mean, Beaumont's no joke. You don't want to go to Beaumont. He took me through Beaumont, but yeah, no, I was fucking scared. And, but we went to his dad who lived right across the border in Louisiana. He's like, yeah, we're going to a boil. And I'm like, what the fuck is a boil? I'm thinking like a boil, like a sore. He's like, crawfish boil. I'm like, oh, okay. Never had crawfish before. I've caught him in the creek and we used to make him fight each other. That was the extent of it. You know what I mean? Dude, they were playing like true Cajun music and drinking beer. Dude, it was a fucking blast. And yeah. I was like, oh, I was hooked right out the gate. And his mom made a crawfish etouffee. It was the first time I had etouffee. And I was just like, oh, I loved it. That's etouffee is my favorite. I'll take that over jambalaya or gumbo any day.
What is etouffee?
It's very similar. I would compare it to, I mean, you make your roux and, you know, your sauce. It's this creamy style sauce, almost like, I wouldn't say Alfredo, but to that kind of creaminess extent. And it's rice, shrimp, your holy trinity. It's not far off. It's just more of a creamy sauce. It's I don't know. It's so hard to describe.
Just a unique dish with a cream base to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's really good.
Garlic in there.
Oh, garlic. Oh, yeah. Your trinity. Oh, man. It's fucking amazing. But if you get crawfish, I mean, you need a lot of them. But
yeah,
make it sometime.
But yeah, two crawfish is one bite, basically.
Yeah, if they're a decent size. Yeah.
Yeah.
I make a really mean killer spaghetti for a white guy. I'm good at Chinese too. I don't know. I don't really have a specific because I always wanted to open a food truck. That I always kind of had that dream and I could never nail down like what I could put on the menu. I think my menu would just constantly change because I don't want to brat. Like I'm diverse. Like if I don't know how to make it, I watch videos or read recipes and watch other people make it until okay, I'm confident. I'm going to give it a try. And
something sticks with you. Yeah. Yep, so then, what I got to ask, what sets your spaghetti apart from other spaghetti? Cause dude, that was my bane of my existence as a child was my mom and dad would make so much fucking spaghetti. Once or twice a week, they would have spaghetti. And now I love spaghetti, but they would do it so much because, again, they made a little less money when I was a kid. They're by no means poor. I mean, we always had a ton of food.
And spaghetti goes a long way for all week.
You know yeah, I mean? It's cheap. You know, they would usually use canned sauce as a base, but then they would add shit to it. So it was relatively cheap. And yet, to be clear, I want to make it clear that my parents weren't like dirtbag poor. They were just like not nearly as well off as they are now, it seems. And so it's funny to me that this dish that I hated so much because I would get tired of it. And my dad, I remember exactly how he would make his plates because it always looked so good. And me and my mom, like basic ass people, would just put the Parmesan cheese on top.
Oh, my dad ate shaker cheese.
Well, that's what we did. You know what I mean? But my dad. Yeah. So
I used to love it too. But
yeah, not anymore. Good. There's good shit that you can do now. The shredded and I like the flakes. The flakes are top notch above everything else. You know what I'm talking about? Parmesan flakes.
Yeah,
they look like little scabs. I'm not
a big Parmesan cheese fan. To me, okay. It has a woody taste.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to. It's earthy. But yeah, so what my dad would do, which is genius, and I really enjoyed looking at it. He would take a full plate, you know, dinner plate, about an inch and a half thick of spaghetti all around it. Inch and a half, we're talking. Mm-hmm. Slather sauce on top of it, maybe another half inch or more of sauce just on top of it.
Yeah.
And then grade cheddar cheese on top of that. And dude, it was fucking so good the first time I tried that. Always garlic bread and shit like that. But my dad would put a good amount of cheddar cheese on his spaghetti with usually meat sauce and mushrooms and onions and shit. Mm-hmm. So good. I don't know if anyone out there has tried spaghetti with cheddar cheese. And then for some reason as a kid, I would always drink milk with my spaghetti.
Okay.
Nice. Very weird. Very weird.
That is weird.
I mean, saw it in a book once.
I can't really knock it. I drank a lot of milk with most of my meals when I was a kid, too.
Looking back at how much milk I drank, I think it's disgusting now because I don't drink milk anymore. I think it's gross.
Okay.
Do you fuck with milk still?
Now and again. Well, now that the kids move out, no one eats cold cereal. You know what I mean? And we'll be walking by and she'll get like one of the smallest little jugs. I'm like, why are you buying that? You don't drink milk. I hardly ever drink. Well, just to have it on hand in case
it's just good to have in the house.
Yeah, in case we need to make something with it. I'm like, if we need to make something with it, I'm the one that usually goes to the store and buys the shit because I'm running the cooking. Yeah. I'll buy the fucking milk then. You know what I mean? Other than that, no one's fucking with it. You know?
I'll fuck with almond milk. Almond milk's great. I like that kind of shit now. Like, and I don't mean to, like, I don't fuck with soy milk. Oat milk I liked before I heard that there was some weird problem with it, with how it does your liver or something weird. But almond milk I'll fuck with heavy. You know what I mean? It's nice. I went to Sprouts yesterday because I called out of work yesterday and I didn't want to be seen at any of the grocery stores that we service. So right. I couldn't go to any of the main ones. So I went to Sprouts. Used to love going to Sprouts, dude. It's a fucking rip now. I mean, it's insanely expensive. I got like some bullshit organic gluten-free fucking mini wheats, blueberry mini wheat version that they have there, like $7 a box. But, you know, we had to get the almond milk for that shit. You know what I mean? It's a winner, dude. There's something creepy about a grown man that continues to really enjoy cow's milk.
Mm.
Something weird.
I like whole milk, and if given the opportunity on like a Saturday morning, frying up some scrapple, some bacon.
Scrapple.
Have you ever had scrapple?
I haven't, but I've heard good things. It's a Midwest Eastern thing.
Yeah, it has to be real thin and crispy. So you like perfect to do on like a Blackstone or a cast iron pan. You put a little lard down to fry it in. And some people, to me, it's fucking weird. They'll put ketchup on it. Doesn't make sense. 99.9% of everybody that eats scrapple puts maple syrup on it. And
weird.
Yeah, but it's so fucking good.
Sweet and like, savory.
Oh, yeah. So, like, have you ever had, like, breakfast sausage and kind of got into your syrup a little bit while eating pancakes? Kind of similar.
I'll dabble. I don't really like the sweet and savory, but I'll dabble.
Okay.
I'm not throwing out the sausage if it touches syrup.
Right.
Put it that way.
Exactly. But, yeah. Oh, it's... I don't even know what we were... Oh, so... But
scrapple.
Having a glass like of raw milk, man, it just goes perfect with fucking pancakes and syrup to me.
Oh, sure. Don't get me wrong. I'll fuck around with little cookies and milk. Yeah. But like if you ever just see what was the movie? I think it was Inglourious Basterds or something where the Nazi is just sitting there at the bar drinking a giant glass of milk. It's fucking weird. And I think that's why Quentin Tarantino did that. It's strange. When you see, and then there's this old janitor at this Walmart that I service, bless his heart. He's a nice dude, army veteran that just continues to work just to support his wife a little better and shit. Right. And he's the janitor, cleans up shit and piss and throw up all day at Walmart. This motherfucker, sweet dude, walks out every morning on his break with a little glass of, or a little bottle of milk. And I'm always like, dude, that is weird. You know, I love the dude. I talk to him all the time. He's a really, really sweet dude, but like, it's like, man, there's something in that head of yours because you're just enjoying a glass of milk all alone.
That's funny you say that. The guy doesn't work where I work anymore. He worked there, maybe a year, year and a half. This was probably 6 or 7 years ago. But he'd pack his lunch, and in his lunch, he would have a little fucking mason jar of milk to have with his lunch every day. And we all kind of thought it was weird too. It's like, there's Vic and his little jar of milk. You know what I mean?
It's
weird, fucking... but
yeah. So, imagine you're at a bar and some dude just wants a milk. You know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah. That would be weird.
Get a fucking beer, dude.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? You want some tequila?
What were you going to say?
Well, you asked what sets my spaghetti aside.
Sure. So, yes.
We make our own sauce. We can it and what have you. So I'll pull out the crock pot, okay? Put it on low or simmer. And I put my sauce in there, add some extra seasoning because we don't fully season it, you know, when we can it. So I'll put some more Italian seasoning, chop up some fresh garlic, throw it in there, some onion, and sometimes bell pepper. It has to be red or yellow. Green fucks with my gut a little bit, but I like the sweetness of the red and the yellow a little bit better.
Okay.
Some mushrooms, and then I'll take hamburger and sausage, mix that together, fry that up with some onion and garlic as well.
I don't hate it.
Throw that in there, and then I let that simmer all day for, you know, if I'm doing it, usually when I'm making spaghetti, I'm
for 40 hours.
Yeah, almost. I'll start it on a Saturday night before I go to bed, and I'll let that thing go until probably 4 or 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon. So it just seeped in with all these flavors.
Full day.
And then, you know, you put up your noodles, and then I'm the same way, you know, put the noodles in, sauce. My wife, I don't know if you guys have it out there. It's Cooper Sharp. It also goes by Aged American, would be the next similar thing. But that's what she puts in hers. I don't put cheese in mine. I'm a
Green Bay purist.
Packer. Yeah, I am a purist. I'm a Green Bay Packer head or fan. I'm a cheese head that is not really big on cheese. So then, after we've eaten it, leftovers. Here's something for you. Have you ever had a spaghetti sandwich?
No, but I heard someone, was it you that mentioned that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had to admit, because who the fuck eats a spaghetti sandwich?
Yeah. Well, that started out as a poor kid using leftovers. Now, I used to do it cold, so I would take the bread, I wouldn't toast it or anything, and I'd put butter on it, maybe some garlic powder, take cold spaghetti, put it in there, and just fucking eat it as an after-school snack.
I don't hate that. There's something
fucking amazing.
There's something about it cold that somehow is not as bad as a hot one. Because the hot one, do you toast the bread and shit?
Yes. Now, recently, I'll take like garlic toast, and I'll toast it on the Blackstone, and then I'll take my noodles and pour a little sauce and heat that up on the Blackstone as well, and then put some cheese on it. And then once the bread's toasted, I combine that all together, make a sandwich, take it in, cut it in half, you know, and my wife
cut it in half.
Yeah, oh yeah, gotta cut it in half. And it's also served with a fork.
That would be
one of my fucking menu items it would be a spaghetti sandwich.
You'd have to come up with a better name.
I wouldn't know what to call it. I've just always called it a spaghetti sandwich. I thought I invented this motherfucker. And one time
I think you did.
Well, come to find out, are you familiar with the Bob and Tom show?
No.
Okay, they're a comedy morning show. They're pretty big across the United States, not in every radio territory. But the one host that replaced Bob after he retired, Josh Arnold, he's a comedian. He was talking about it one day. He's like, yeah, I make a spaghetti sandwich. I'm like, what the fuck? Someone else out there fucking makes a spaghetti sandwich? Dude, I was fucking floored because I thought I came up with in my mind, I never.
As far as I'm concerned, you did.
I came home from school, and that's what I would make. You know what I mean? And
now the cold one, I've got to circle back to this cold one because that's really got my interest. First of all, you put cheese on the hot one. It sounds like
mm-hmm.
You put cheese on the cold one.
No, I didn't.
That might be the fucking ticket.
Yeah,
I tell you, dude, the cold one doesn't sound that bad. Yeah, I don't know why.
If you ever make spaghetti, just try it. And I mean, you can toast. Toast your bread in a toaster. Yeah, that would probably make it a little better.
You
get that little crunch. But I would just take plain bread, butter it, throw some garlic powder on there, put the spaghetti in there, boom.
And I'm assuming you're using just Wonder white bread.
Yeah, or Italian now. Back when I was a kid, it was Wonder bread, white bread. You know what I mean? Just plain Jane, little
potato
squares,
bread.
You know?
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, dude.
Do you like cold food much? Like stuff that's supposed to be hot, but you're eating it cold? Pizza, spaghetti.
Yep. Chicken. And I think that kind of came with my upbringing. You know, you come home from school, you didn't really know how to cook, but there was leftovers. You know, tuna casserole. Dude, I used to fucking chow. That's like my all-time favorite food. Tuna casserole with some people put breadcrumbs on top. Yep. Peas, tuna, and a cream of mushroom soup and some noodles. And then some people put breadcrumbs on. I take plain chips, just plain chips, and crush. I used to put them in when it was baking. Now I just crush them on top.
And not bad.
You get the, oh, dude, it's fucking amazing. But I would fucking devour that cold. But you know, as a younger kid, not knowing, and this was kind of pre-microwave days, you know, they weren't super accessible, you know what
I mean? Geez, were you in the fucking 50s here? What are we talking about?
Well, they were accessible, but, you know, my parents weren't super rich, you know, back then they cost like $500-$600, you know
that's
what I mean?
So
like,
crazy, huh?
Yeah. So if, like, if you went to a friend's house and they had a microwave, you knew they were doing something.
You're like, you know, bowing, I mean, down. This, yeah, is a, like, god.
Oh, fuck. They got a microwave.
So that's so, you know, funny. Cause the microwave really came out under Eisenhower, I think.
Yeah.
It was some of that alien technology, alleged alien technology.
Yeah. And but they were super expensive. Like when VHS first, yeah, came out, when I was a kid, dude, they were fucking super expensive. You know what I mean? Well,
think about DVDs, Blu-rays, you know, yeah, any piece of technology, flat screen TVs. That's how it was. One thing I was going to say, dude, is like, you know, eating the cold food when you're coming home, you know, from school. Kids, no human. I don't care about the starving kids in Africa or any of this stuff. No human is ever as hungry as a teenage kid or a elementary age kid coming home from school about to eat, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the hungriest a person is ever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You needed that after school snack before dinner.
Yeah, it's crazy. And dude, I used to eat so much food. Like, I still eat big portions and shit. Mm-hmm. But dude, like, I used to, and I was real skinny as a kid, not as a kid, but as a teenager, so much food. And my sister, who's a skinny kid too, so much fucking food this kid eats. She's 18 now, which is so much food. And it's just, you know, there's something about that going home from a mediocre day at school. And then you fucking just like have the house and you got snacks, dude. After mom went to the grocery store,
oh,
you got,
yeah,
all kinds of shit. I used to fuck hard with the Michelinas frozen meals. We did have a microwave. Call us rich. Sure. Call us rich.
Later on, like when I was in probably, when we moved out here to Pennsylvania, we did have a microwave.
I'm just fucking with you.
But it was the old dial type, though. You know, you turned it to like three.
Oh, those are like bombs.
Push button in and what have you. But I don't know. My go-to, because I guess I was so used to it, just cold. And yeah. In the military, I hardly ever heated up any of my MREs. Yeah. You know, my favorite was the spaghetti. Everybody looked at me like I was a fucking retard. I'm like, nah, dude, I'll trade you for your spaghetti. I fucking rip that open and just fucking eat it. You know, and everybody's over there pouring their water and their little fucking chemical heater and this and that.
Isn't it powder?
What, the chemical heater?
No, isn't the MREs, aren't they kind of powdery and dry?
No.
Oh, they're wet?
Yeah, they're wet. They're just... I don't know what the fuck they put in to store for that long, but yeah, you rip the bag open and boom, there they are.
Yeah, you're nuking your gut when you eat those things, dude. Yeah. I have quite a few saved up just for, you know, if shit hits the fan, not too much. Right. But you know,
they are high burning calories though. So like, sure, when I went over to Saudi, I would wake up, I would go eat breakfast at the chow hall. I would eat an MRE. I wouldn't eat everything out of the MRE, but the main meal, maybe some of the dessert. Sometimes they didn't put the greatest stuff all in there.
The desserts are phenomenal.
Yeah. Then I would eat lunch, an MRE, dinner, and an MRE. And dude, I fucking dropped weight like, really? A motherfucker when I was over there. Yeah. But I was eating
smaller portions.
Yeah, moving around and eating smaller portions all throughout the day. I mean, it sped up my metabolism, what have you, but. Yeah, dude, I'll fight somebody for some of those MRE spaghettis. They're my fave.
That's cool, man. No, yeah, it's funny to think about that. But yeah, no, it's horrible for you, but
Oh, yeah, dude.
I think that it's interesting, and you know, we covered a lot of shit here today. I'm trying to think if there's anything that stands out to me that I really want to ask you. Because I like the frozen food talk. Did you fuck with frozen meals? Like, mm-hmm. Once the microwave was more.
Yeah,
Hungry Man, Michelinas, yeah. Stouffer's,
like, before. Like before we moved out to Pennsylvania, we had TV dinners, but we'd put them in the toaster oven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those little toaster ovens, heat them up. Dude, to me, that was luxury. I'm like, oh, I get a TV dinner. I can sit in front of the TV and eat my dinner. You know what
Isn't
I mean?
That so funny, dude? That was the way that a lot of people thought, like, it was like classy to eat frozen food. We were like that too. Frozen food that you got out of a nuclear box that radiated the fuck out of your food. And then you go and sit down in your living room like an animal and eat the food. I mean, we thought that was classy too.
Yeah. Still do.
Dude, I don't even. So we have a microwave, but I hadn't had a microwave for a long time. Cause when I found out that, and this isn't me trying to be like fucking high and mighty, but when I found out that they were illegal in a lot of countries, I was like, fuck, dude, I really don't want to be putting that shit in my body. I'm already putting poisonous water in my body. The water out here is pretty rough. I try to drink bottled water. I still need to get my damn distiller. But like, that's one thing that I can control is not eating radiated food like that.
Yeah. I don't eat much microwave food. Like, I'll heat up leftovers now and again.
I go oven or fucking stovetop. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, no, this is fun talking with you, man. I mean, I just kind of like getting a little bit of the background and then talking a little shit about food and like just upbringing. I think it's kind of funny, man. Basic ideas of, who the man is behind the microphone there. So, anything you want to close out on, dude, any weird shit that, that you think that the people should know about your past?
I just want to say I'm a basic bitch.
Fucking trip me out for a second. You got to remember I'm high here.
That's right. I forgot. No, from my childhood.
Or anything. Yeah. Anything.
I remember we raised pigeons when we were out in Idaho, and I remember climbing up on the fucking the one barn, and we'd have to call some of the flock, and my stepdad, he'd shoot them, and they'd drop down, and I'd fucking run over, and I'd have to fucking wring their neck, and then, we'd fucking pluck them, and, you get these little tiny fucking breasts out of them, and, you needed a ton of them, but...
Were they any good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Pigeon?
Yeah.
So you raised them to eat?
Yes, they were like more fancy type pigeons. Like some of them had feathers on their feet. Some were tumblers and some were rollers. So some would like tumble backwards. Some would roll forward when they were flying. So they were like, they weren't like the wild pigeons that you see.
The rats with wings.
Yeah, the rats with wings. Now, I mean, in a survival situation, okay, I'd eat one of them. I mean,
sure.
Eat any fucking bird. But yeah, we raised them. We had chickens. We had cat. We always raised a cow or two, to butcher. I remember the one time. This was my sister was just born, and she was able to walk. Between the two barns, we had this fucking mean ass rooster, and somehow he got out. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, we hear my sister crying, and this fucking rooster is like on top of her and flapping its wings, trying to claw at her. And the dog that I had then, his name was Bandit. He came with the farm. Coolest fucking dog ever.
Oh yeah, like, farm dog's fucking hard to beat.
Yeah, dude. And he fucking took off and he fucking destroyed this fucking rooster. He pounced on. Oh yeah, grabbed it by the neck, fucking flung it around. Never ate it. Just fucking killed it and let it lay.
Good.
And another time, I remember I was either mowing the grass or whatever. I was over by the chimney and we had like a little pile of rocks. And all of a sudden he was behind me and he was growling. I thought he was growling at me. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, Bandit, what's going on? And I kind of moved out of the way. This motherfucker dove in this rock pile and pulled out a fucking weasel. I was really? Like, holy yeah. It's a fucking, he was a cool fucking dog.
Yeah. Farm dogs are dope. Yeah. Really, really cool dog, man. Yeah. That's cool. Well, do you remember what kind of dog he was?
He was a mix. I think he had collie in him. That's about all I really remember. But yeah, he was a cool ass dog. We had to leave him behind, which sucked. But yeah, man. And then we had another one. I had a black lab. This motherfucker, he would disappear. We're on a farm, so he'd disappear for hours. Whatever, he'd come back. This motherfucker would collect dry cow patties. Right, they were his favorite fucking treat. He would just sit there and fucking gnaw them. And then he'd want to come up and fucking lick your face. It's like, nah, dude, you were just eating fucking cow shit. Get the fuck away. You're
probably getting shroomed out. Doesn't mushrooms grow into those things?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably getting a little fucking psilocybe.
Yeah. He could have been. He's like, yeah, these are fucking good, man.
That's funny, dude. That's awesome, man. It sounds like you kind of had a cool upbringing. I didn't really know about the farm.
Yeah. Yeah. I did have, I made the shitty experiences good. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
you have to,
I did have shitty experiences. I don't dwell on them. They are what they are. I'm to terms with them. I'm completely at terms with how my mom is and how my
sounds like what, it. Yeah.
I just don't really care. I'm not gonna feed it energy. You know what I mean? But I had when you're young, at one point you're the only child, dude. You use your imagination. I mean, yeah. Hell, I got into D&D when we moved out here. I think in middle school. No, it's more high school. But it wasn't like D&D. Like we'd come up with our own campaigns, draw our own maps, and dude, that was fun. You know, you just sit there and imagine and use your imagination. And you know, kids don't do that these days. And, you know, it's weird, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've said it many times. I think that honestly, I grew up in the coolest time because I really, as a minor, got to experience the pre-mainstream computer days and then like the post smart computers and smart shit, everything. You know what I mean? So I had that experience of playing in the dirt as, you know, an older, younger teenager, I should say, and then also having the fucking iPhone. You know what I mean? I think that that's kind of cool. You're right around there too. You know what I mean? You obviously got a little older when the shit came out because you're just a little older than me, but that's I think the best era to grow up in is when you can experience both. You can experience the dumpy fucking use your imagination, fucking figure it out, and then you also have this little gadget in my hand figures out everything for me. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool. Would I rather go back to the time when you had to think for yourself? Yes. But you know, that's this genie is out of the bottle, so it's not gonna happen. But so
when you were into alternative rock at all? Or did you have a favorite band?
I mean, I liked System of a Down a lot. I don't know exactly what you would consider them. There was all kinds of music, dude. My dad was real into Metallica, which I know is not alternative rock, but you know, we got when I was young in elementary school, before 9/11, I think even, he got this album that came with a DVD of Metallica, and it was with the San Francisco Orchestra because that's where they were playing from. Yeah, dude. And I mean, me and my cousin Brandon, we would watch that on repeat, like this fucking, you know, 3-hour concert, 4-hour concert. We'd just sit there all day and just watch this, dude. And we're like fucking jamming out to the songs and like, you know, playing along like air guitar and air drums and singing and shit. And it was just like, so that album for some reason was so fucking transcendent to me. It was called S&M, Metallica S&M, just a live recording. And so that was cool. And then I got into hip hop like earlier than a lot of my friends did, because there was a lot of Mexicans at my school and a lot of like black kids and stuff. Not a ton, but for Tucson, there's quite a few. And so like I just thought it was cool sounding, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the kids were dicks. The Mexican kids and the black kids were always dicks, but like they had good music and I liked the music that they listened to. But yeah, so dude,
not a lot of Tejano music.
What's that? Like Texas?
It's kind of like that. No, it's not quite like, it's kind of like mariachi.
No, not the kids, dude. Like, even to this day, man, like there's construction workers that blare mariachi music and I don't understand it. It doesn't sound good. You know what I mean?
No.
My sister's boyfriend. That's confusing. My sister's boyfriend, they have a mariachi band and it's good. If they're playing it and there's like some passion there, that's cool. But if you're just blaring it on the fucking radio, dude, what the fuck are you thinking? It's so weird. I can't stand that shit. But more power to them if they feel comfortable and feel like doing that. But yeah, no Tejano. A lot of like, you know, dude, some dumb music too. Uba Stank and all that shit, you know, this dumb. Huh?
I haven't heard of Uba Stank in a long time.
Yeah, dude, those dumb. I mean, Green Day was making a comeback during like the early 2000s and maybe they never left. I don't really know. But yeah, dude, all kinds of music, man. It was diverse where I was. But yeah dude, it's just crazy that the influences and how they all just combine. And obviously you're a big Tool fan. You make that pretty clear.
Yeah. Big Tool fan. I was always the kid in high school that, and there was maybe like one or two other of us, maybe not in my grade, but always looked for bands that at the time other kids would kind of almost make fun of. I got made fun of for and you know, liking Tool and Primus and Alice in Chains and all that.
Primus is cool, yeah.
And you know, at that time, you know, you have Old Dirty Bastard coming out, so that hip hop scene was kind of coming up, and the kids, you know, yeah. And I was not into hip hop until I probably got into the Air Force, and then I, you know, when Biggie came out, you know, I wasn't a big Tupac fan. I am now. I do appreciate the music now. I was more the East Coast, you know, and then some Bone Thugs and what have you. But, you You know, I was always that kid that just looked for, you know, just the kind of the most more obscure type bands, like Front 242. They I think they were from like Sweden or something like that. You know, they were kind of like a they were kind of techno-y, but like, I don't know. They're hard to describe. You know, they're European music. You know what I mean? And you just kind of come across different things. And then now, after, you know, growing up and what have you, you look back and then all the kids that made fun of you, you're like, oh, yeah, Tool. And I'm like, where the fuck were you? I liked them from the fucking get-go. Now you like them? Like,
and now they're cool to like. Yeah, now they're cool to like. Because it's like, yeah, it's the uniqueness. Because everything's gone so mainstream. The unique shit is now cool. So, yeah,
and
man.
Jake, my stepson, actually, I took, me and the wife were supposed to go. This was way before Rona and what have you. But she had got a head cold or whatever. And because I bought tickets to go see him down in Hershey. And she's like, oh, you know, and I was looking for friends. You know, I was like, you know, one buddy's like, oh, he just can't get off work. You know, da, 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 da. I said, Jake, you're going with me. And he's like, where are we going? I said, you're going to see the greatest band of my generation and that's still playing. And he's like, we're going to see Tool. And he's like, well, I kind of listened to some stuff. Dude, I was singing to every fucking song. I got a fist bump Danny Carey, you know, when he walked by the aisle, cause we were down on the floor or whatever, but you had to sit in, you know, chairs, and nobody else around like even paid attention. I'm like, there's this dude wearing fucking basketball shorts and a hoodie up over his head so people couldn't see him. And in the middle, you know, they have their sound check and, you know, all their equipment, you know, for the production value of it. And he walked down and his woman or family must have been in there. And, you know, he just wanted to make sure, obviously, you know, his sounds are, you know, at the levels that he wants. And he comes walking back and I'm looking up. I'm like, I looked at my steps. I'm like, dude, that's Danny Carey. He's like, no, it's not. I said, watch this. And I just kind of held my hand out just like that. I didn't really make eye contact. And he walked by and he fist bumped it and kept walking. I said, told you that was Danny Carey. And all these motherfuckers sitting around here smoking pot that love Tool missed that.
That's so funny, dude.
Yeah. So good for you, man. He got to see that. And like when I grew up, like I grew up with my parents on classic rock. So I like Led Zeppelin, Quarter Flash, you know, all those, you know, Toto, you know, all the weird, all the crazy stuff.
But some good bands in the 80s, man. There's a lot of good music. Tons.
Yeah, I was into hair band, you know, when I was a kid, you know, Guns N' Roses and all that, White Snake, and now I can't. And my wife, that was her genre, she loves it, and I'm like, sorry, I just can't fuck with the hair bands.
I'm talking about trash. The stuff like that still holds up really, really well to me, like Journey. I think Journey will always hold Blondie. Blondie, sure, she invented rap in a lot of people's eyes, unfortunately.
Yes. Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac's phenomenal. Tom Petty's phenomenal. Me and my dad, who are we going to go see in October? I think Shinedown, because he likes Shinedown. I don't really care about Shinedown, but he.
Yeah, you know, Bullet with, was it Bullet with Staring Down the Barrel of a 45 is like the only song I can.
And those are the lyrics, right? That's not the title, I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to go see him and Jelly Roll's pretty tight. So yeah, man, you know, it's fun. I haven't been to concerts in a while, dude. I'm super mellow and like I just like lay back a lot and you know, I enjoy my booze and fucking just researching podcasts, man. That's what it is now. Yeah, right now it's an edible, unfortunately, and so you know, a little more laid back than usual. But yeah, man, no, this is a blast, dude. I like doing these chats and I want to do these more. You'll obviously come back at some point.
Hell yeah.
We'll do more of these, just kind of shoot the shit now that people kind of have the foundation. But yeah, I want to do like one of these a week and release some Saturdays just to, like I said, not that we're like up on a pedestal being fucking podcast hosts, but just to like make it so like, oh yeah, this is a real dude that I can have a conversation with. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that listen to shows forget that it's literally just a normal ass person, dude, doing all these shows. You know what I mean? For some reason, I don't look at it, you know, like,
dude,
that
I was that listener, you know what I mean? Like completely admitted, you know, I fanboyed the first time I talked to you, you know, first few times. Yeah. Like, I can't believe I'm fucking talking to Ryan, you know, because you hear them and you're listening to the podcast and you're like, oh man, they have this platform, you know what I mean? And Like, he's taking his time out of all the research and everything he does and talking to talk to me. Like,
yeah, that's wow. what it is. They feel that they're being talked to directly. And I think that that's what's cool about it. But so at the same time, I think that it is kind of cool to, I really want to try and keep this like podcasting as a whole, as far out of the mainstream as possible and keep it cool. Yeah. Because like when these celebrities start getting involved, like they are, it starts going downhill real quick. So like creating these communities of people that I think, in a real way, communities that actually benefit other people, not just say that they're collective or a community or whatever the fuck. Actually doing stuff, you know, we're working on something right now that will hopefully be a cool item, and by the time this is out, you know, the ship might even be already, hopefully it will, honestly.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so yeah, man, you know, all these little things just to fucking make it fun and keep it cool. So with that being said, dude, plug anything that you want, or say anything that you want like my listeners to know about, and obviously where they can find My Third Eye.
You can find My Third Eye anywhere you get podcasts. Go over to patreon.com/My Third Eye Podcast. You get Talk of the Tavern. I release the first hour free, and anything after that is up on it, $5 a month. You know,
every week the first hour is free. Sorry to interrupt.
Starting this past week. So yes. So cool. Tomorrow, I'm trying to release them on Sundays. Tomorrow's going to be a little tricky because it's my daughter's birthday. She requested steaks. So
happy birthday.
Yeah. So I planned to have dinner, lunch around 1 or whatever. And, you know, so that gives me, you know, the rest of the day, because, you know, when you go for a few hours, you know, the production side of it, sometimes it takes, you know, a while to get certain things done and what have you.
But, well, by the time this is out, you'll be in a groove, because this won't come out for 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, so. Totally. But yeah, go there. Just go to my link tree. Anything that you want to know, or what I have linked to, is there. You know, from the artist that does my outro music to, you know, anything else that I have on there. You know, and to kind of backtrack on what we were saying, I don't care if I get super big, I will never be the type that has somebody manage my social media for me. You know, if you reach out to me, I will reach back out to you. You know what I mean? So if you want to send me a message on Instagram, or you want to email me at mythirdeyepod@gmail.com, email me. You know, if you want to come on talk, let's talk. I don't give a fuck what the topic is. You know, obviously we just sat here and did a decent, you know, long episode on just super random normal shit, you know. It doesn't have to be conspiracy related or cryptid or whatever. Just let's have a conversation, you know, let's talk. So thank you for having me on. I'm honored, and it's always a good time. I always love talking to you, even when you're drunk, even when you're high.
Yeah, thanks, man. No, where do people find your link tree? I don't think you mentioned your Instagram clearly with that. Is it My Third Eye Pod?
That is a good question, because I haven't looked at it in a minute. I think it's actually My Third Eye Podcast. Okay.
Well, we can double check. So go to the Patreon, patreon.com/My Third Eye, not My Third Eye Podcast, right? Just My Third Eye.
Yeah. My Third Eye. No, for Patreon, it's My Third Eye Podcast.
Okay. Yeah, and your Instagram is My Third Eye Podcast, and you can just go to his link tree there, check it out. The Instagram that you have is pretty good, man. You have some fun stuff on there all the time. So
I try. Sometimes I forget to post, because I'm always scrolling through, you know, looking at other people's. But it's linktr.ee/My Third Eye Podcast for my link tree. So
cool.
Yeah, I'm slowly gaining some followers, you know what I mean? And and YouTube, go over to My Third Eye Podcast, you know, hit up the YouTube. For whatever reason, I'm doing something right, and I'm not going to fucking complain. Yeah, if you want to watch a really good documentary, which was weird that someone put it in that aspect, but it is close to a 4-hour episode, go hit up Lines of Destiny. My buddy Alan dropped some fucking bombs in that. And you know, you don't have to watch it all in one setting. So don't let the 4 hours fucking get you. You know what I mean? But, you know, and I do plan on having him back on. He's working on some other stuff. And
good.
Hopefully, I would really love to get him on your podcast. But, you know, he's kind of, he only ever wanted to go on mine. He did.
Yeah, people are picky, and that's fine.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I mean, and he's busy, but you know, we at least got to talk to Rob and what have you on a couple.
Yeah, Rob's a cool dude, and you're getting Celeste Solom on, right? Are you going to have him on to talk? He was also wanting to talk with Celeste Solom, so.
Yeah, actually, I already recorded that and forgot that he wanted to talk to Celeste. I forgot.
Oh, he's going to be mad at you, dude.
Yeah, I forgot that's who he wanted to talk to.
That's so funny. Well, Ghost, thank you so much. And obviously, you know, you and I are pretty good friends here. We're going to be communicating in the future, and you'll see a lot more of him and me working together, guys. So until next time, this has been another installment of, I guess what I'm calling Conspiracy Break Room. That's the closest name I could come up with. It sounds just gay enough to be part of my series. So thank you guys for listening to it, and just take care of yourselves and have fun, guys.